We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Radio.com.
When you feel weak, you feel like you want to just give up, but you gotta search within you. Gotta find that inner strength.
I gave up on Eminem a long time ago.
What was the moment for you?
When his only hits were songs where he brought in like Rihanna to sing like choir led stuff.
Oh yeah, that, it was not down to his musical talent.
Yeah,
I feel like the dividing line for me with Eminem's music, like since he did that interview with Brent Musburger on the college football broadcast, it was like to promote an album. There's been nothing then or since that has interested me at all.
I think that I think the divorce came when he started having, when he stopped using Dre's production and he went with his production. And, you know, I'm sorry, but Eminem, the producer, kind of sucks.
Yeah, I mean, clearly. I mean, based off, I mean, are there hits? Are there like songs that I'm not aware of that like are Eminem songs that is now popular? He's, like I don't feel like an Eminem song has entered my conscience since
he put out like that album, like that Kamikaze album or whatever thing, and it supposedly was good. I don't know.
I listened to it. I mean, I stopped listening to Eminem like a decade ago, so it's like I'm not Eminem. I will consider him a GOAT, a greatest of all time, and Eminem gives life to white rappers all over the world, you know, but it's just not for me, dog.
All right. I wanted to actually switch gears a little bit and talk a bit about basketball, because I don't know if you saw this, but today Bill Simmons on his podcast reported that James Dolan is reportedly seriously considering selling the Knicks.
Sure.
Which would not include the arena or the television network, but just you get to buy his basketball team and the price would be $4 billion. $4 billion for an NBA team in New York. Do you feel like there's a Knicks renaissance on?
I think that sounds about right. $4 billion, that sounds about right.
For the biggest city in America. But it really does go to show.
If the Dolphins got sold, they would sell for stadium. I mean, the
if
team.
If you included the stadium.
It includes
the
stadium.
This doesn't include the arena and the TV network, but this is just a basketball team. You don't own the arena. You don't own your television rights.
And you have
rights.
To stay in his arena
and you gotta stay there.
Stay on his television
of course,
network.
Yeah. Well, why would he sell it to you if you aren't going to do those things? You're just buying a basketball team.
Okay. I think he's just pump faking, engaging. If this is real.
To me, I'm fascinated by the Knicks right now. Because on the podcast, he mentioned that Bill Simmons mentioned that since 1973, the New York Knicks have won 4 NBA Finals games. 4. This is in the biggest city in the world, the supposed mecca of basketball.
NBA Finals games?
4 NBA Finals games since 1973.
Okay.
The New York Knicks, man.
How many Finals games has the Miami Dolphins won?
Miami Heat, you mean?
No, Miami Dolphins.
Oh, Miami Dolphins.
Like, it happens.
Yeah, I mean, for
you fall on hard times.
46 years?
You fall on hard times.
It's hard to do that in New York, though, Omar. In New York, like the place where everyone wants to be,
I don't think that really applies anymore. Like,
you don't think so?
Oh no, I know a lot of NFL players who do not want to be in New York,
but they also don't play in New York; they play in New Jersey.
Okay, but they still get to live in New York. Some of them do, but yeah, it's not. I mean, New York is not exactly a great place to raise your family and kids.
That's fair.
And you know, quality of life is kind of important to some people. Mm-hmm. So. I mean, it's a great city. I'd love to visit it. Yeah. I love it. Love it. Love it to visit it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to live there.
When do you get tired of New York? For me, like New York and Vegas are kind of the same thing in some respects.
Yeah.
Which is like you're surrounded by people all the time. Mm-hmm. And just get me away from people. I don't want to have to like, I don't want everything to be a 20-minute walk. I just, please get me away from people. I want to get in my car, drive 10
that
minutes
is fair.
Somewhere, and be away from people.
I've been to LA a couple of times now, thanks to the NFL. Thank you, NFL. And I'm intrigued by it, but I don't know if I would live it.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with New York. I'm always intrigued by New York. I always enjoy it, but I'm always thankful when I get to leave.
Yeah.
And some people love, my best friend lives in New York, mm-hmm. and you know, he goes to a concert every week on a Wednesday and mm-hmm. gets to see a mega artist perform on a Wednesday. Yeah, we don't get that down here.
Right, exactly. So New York is a hub of activity. And like, to me, I'm just so surprised that that team has had a resurgence, and now that path is out there for them. There's real links between them and Kevin Durant. And now they're being linked with
fool's gold
with a potential selling of the team. I think Kevin Durant's going to go.
No, he's not.
And I think he's going to go.
No, he's not. Once you get winning in your bloodstream, it don't leave.
But this is what I was asking about earlier. So I read an interesting story that
he's got the money.
Understood. But he
keep
also,
in mind,
he was also
he
the,
has more Nike money than he has NBA
correct,
money.
Correct. He's very well caught. But might that Nike money increase should he go to New York?
He just signed like a ridiculous deal that's got mm-hmm. like 7 years on it. So it's not like they're going to give him a new contract.
Right. But what I'm saying is, so getting back to the priorities of athletes, mm-hmm. For me, the fact that
money.
Kevin Durant has been linked with a move away from Golden State is shocking to me, because he is making as much money as one can on a short-term contract, so money is not an issue, and he's winning as much as you can. He's getting his stats. He's playing an incredible brand of basketball, and yet this does not feel, from afar and from people who are reporting it, like he's terribly satisfied being in that situation. That seems surprising to me. And so I've wondered if he wants to be
Why? Where do you get that from? Like I've sat there and listened to him do interviews, and he's like, okay, when we get to that business end, we'll get to mm-hmm. that business end. But
the people that are reporting
he just wants wants to play good basketball. They're reporting that because it's
but then
it's,
why would it even be a consideration that he would go?
Because he needs leverage for negotiations, so they give him the maximum amount of money.
You don't think Golden State would do that immediately? Like
no,
if they said right
you gotta,
now
you got to have a bidder. You got to have another bidder. Like Klay Thompson.
I think he's going to go.
Klay Thompson needs the LA Lakers to be the other bidder so that they mm-hmm. can get the maximum amount of money. It's about being, he's part of a dynasty. They're probably the greatest team. And I'm a Bulls fan. That is my number one franchise. Michael Jordan, my number one athlete. Golden State would whoop him.
I agree.
And you're part of the best basketball dynasty in not only just your era, but maybe of all time. You don't leave that to go be the lead player of the Knicks. And you don't even like media attention from Golden State. You're going to handle New York's media attention? People who believe that Kevin Durant's going to New York, they're delusional. How many players have got, LeBron was going to New York.
Mm-hmm.
How many other players were going to New York?
Carmelo.
I mean, he did go to New York, but he's from New York. Mm-hmm. Nobody. Kevin Durant isn't. If you aren't from New York, I don't think you're going there. And I don't think you're aspiring to go there. And you don't see anybody. Mm-hmm. This isn't the New York Yankees. You don't see anybody say, man, I got to go to the Knicks. I got to wear that Knicks uniform for the rest of my life. There's no cachet to the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Last time Knicks were relevant was like Larry Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
But Allen Houston,
here for me is my rationale with Durant, though, because this is a guy who on a magazine cover said, I'm tired of being number two, right? I'm tired of being number two behind LeBron. And now he is kind of number two on his own team. Someone pointed this out yesterday.
No, he is not.
No. I'm saying in terms of the fans of Golden State mm-hmm. are much more behind Curry than Durant.
Okay.
And you see, so the attention off of last night is on what? Curry's play with Giannis. Curry with a two-handed, behind-the-back dunk.
Yeah, Curry because Curry had the two best plays of the whole game.
I understood. Kevin Durant was the MVP of the All-Star game.
That's true.
Does anyone remember
nobody
that?
Cared.
Nobody
yeah.
cared.
Nobody cared.
And so I wonder if the neediness, the emotional aspect of it.
Wow, you're calling Kevin Durant needy?
I think he's pretty needy.
Okay, he is. Yeah, okay, all right. The burner accounts make me feel like you're kind of needy.
He has his Twitter account arguing with high schoolers on Instagram.
He's a little sensitive. Like,
okay, and so I think that sensitivity
is going to get him eaten up in New York, which is why he's not going
to
go.
Right, but I think it's also leading him towards wanting to join a new team where he gets to not only win.
And come be with Miami, baby.
If they had cap space, maybe that might happen. But unfortunately, Miami, you know.
He can make it happen. Power can make anything happen.
They gave that away for James Johnson.
Listen, I like that James Johnson signing. I'm not gonna be a hypocrite. James Johnson, I was a stern advocate for James Johnson being re-signed, and Whiteside getting his contract. Now that Tyler Johnson deal, I was like, nope, sorry, don't do it.
Well, James Johnson's got a player option in 2020-21 for $15.8 million. Good times. I think Kevin Durant's going to New York because he wants to be the lead guy again. I think there are players in the NBA where that is the number one factor in their sports beings, is they want to not only win, but be the reason for winning.
Nobody even remembers Kevin Durant with Oklahoma City Thunder because his dynasty and legacy is so great with Golden State. Why would he go back to that? Why would he go do that again?
Because he's not getting the credit.
Well, I'm sorry. Eventually, when you've got seven titles and you've got more than LeBron, somebody will eventually give you the credit of being mm-hmm. one of the greatest
right.
or being a member of the greatest team or the guy that made the sacrifice to make this super team. Like, he's got, what, two titles now?
Yeah.
Okay.
But aren't there just as many people that say he took the easy way out, joining the 73-win team?
Oh, well, like...
But I think that matters to him, Omar. I think he cares about that. I think he cares about everyone saying, oh, you took the easy way out to winning championships.
His attitude, based on his recent tirade with the media about all this obsession that y'all have about where I'm going and where I'm doing, that sounds to me like, I know it for a fact, an athlete who's just pissed and bothered.
Why is he pissed, though?
No. Pissed and bothered by everybody talking about him, and he don't want to be talked about. He just want to, as he says, I just want to play ball and go home and make my money and be left alone and left in peace. Going to New York does the absolute opposite of that. Absolute opposite of that. Look at LeBron and how people are criticizing him, chastising him, because his Lakers team, which we all knew was not very good, mm-hmm. we all just said instantly LeBron's going to make them a finalist. Who? What? Where?
Yeah.
Like, okay, it worked in Cleveland, but they had two good pieces. Well, really, one good piece there.
One and a half.
Yeah, one and a half good pieces there. Like, that wasn't the Lakers. Like, name the other good piece.
But why did LeBron choose to go there then?
Because LeBron, don't get me started on this. Because LeBron doesn't want to be a basketball player anymore. He wants to be a major Hollywood mm-hmm. producer.
So doesn't LeBron then deserve criticism for that?
No, because LeBron's on the next phase of his life. He's played in the NBA for 14 years. 16 years. How much money has LeBron made from NBA basketball?
I'm going to look it up right now.
Who cares? He's got championships. He's got legacy. He's worth more than franchises in themselves. He's on to the next phase of his life. You want to be super? He's past rich. He's wealthy. He wants to be super wealthy. How does he get there? By being a major Hollywood producer. And he's produced a ton mm-hmm. of crap.
So in his NBA career, LeBron James has made $237 million.
That's it?
Yep. And this year, he is making 35.6. So if you include this year's salary, it would be something like $273 million.
I would have sworn he made more. But $270 million?
Mm-hmm.
And then his Nike deal, you throw on another $200 million. So he's at $500 million. Now take taxes away from that. So he's probably pocketed $250 mm-hmm. million.
Not bad.
Not bad. Put that in business deals, real estate deals, mm-hmm. property, investments.
Content production.
Yep. He wants to be a major Hollywood producer. Everybody knew that. And he is being mm-hmm. he is a major Hollywood producer now. Isn't he remaking Space Jams?
And I believe he did it in the summer, basically on a production schedule, knowing he wasn't going to go deep in the playoffs.
Wow.
Coincidence? I think not. Coming up next, we're going to talk some NFL draft with Tony Pauline of DraftAnalyst.com. Chris Whittingham, Omar Kelly here on 560 WQAM, rounding things out before Hurricane Hotline coming up next. I'll be hosting that one as well. As we have Joe Zagacki, he is on his way back from Boston. Bit of a weather issue, as tends to happen in the Northeast. We have very little relation with that because...
Another reason not to live in the Northeast.
I mean, my God. It's just
it's
today was ridiculous. I mean, it being like 83 degrees on a holiday.
Yeah.
Like you basically have today what other people look forward to on the 4th of July, right? As like that's the day you go out,
yeah,
you put you put your shorts and your sandals on,
yeah.
have a barbecue. You could do that today on February 18th. It's just unfair.
I mean, I'm so used to it, and that's the thing. I didn't even, one, because we discussed this earlier in the show, I didn't even know this was like a weekend holiday that people like got away and did other things. Because it's just a regular, literally, this is my second job I'm doing today. Tomorrow, I've got like three jobs to do in different capacities and different things. I'm busy, so I don't really pay that much attention to it.
Your schedule has very little connection with the normal world.
Yeah, the normal world or holidays. Like, I work on weekends.
Right.
Like,
you don't have kids, so it's not like they're off from school.
My weekend is Tuesday.
Yeah, that's exact. Mine's usually Monday. Monday, for whatever reason, is my lightest day every
and
week.
And I love Tuesday. Like, I can go do whatever I want, and there's no line. Like, that's my weekend.
Also, you probably have, like, between 10 and 3 to squeeze everything in before you get hit by traffic. Oh, the traffic is unpleasant.
Yeah.
For your weekend, I got to drive in traffic on my weekend.
Oh, my God. Driving in traffic on the weekend is horrible.
The worst.
Like, everybody's out. Like, I'm so used to driving and the roads are free.
Working?
Yeah, yeah. Like, what are you guys doing on the road? On, you know, driving down the street like 5 miles takes me 30 minutes. Like, I do it on a Tuesday. I'm there in like 3.
I wanted to ask you about Reggie McKenzie being brought in to the Dolphins organization.
Ooh.
What do you make of it, and how did it come together?
I'm not just even going to say Reggie McKenzie, because I want to make a general statement about it. What the Dolphins are doing. They're stockpiling talent that's respected but has been disrespected.
Mm.
And not just Reggie McKenzie, but also Caldwell, Caldwell.
I really enjoyed talking to him. Like, he's a really engaging guy. Like,
I didn't talk to him.
Like, people have portrayed him as kind of being the robot on the sidelines of the Colts, because he always has like a very serious stone face. When we talked to him, because you were there as well at that.
I didn't talk to him, though.
That assistant coach's powwow.
Yes.
I
was grilling Chad O'Shea.
Yeah, you were. About Ryan Tannehill, because you should. You should grill him about Ryan Tannehill, because they haven't
caught
him
yet. Like, what's redeemable? Like, Chris Greer says, hey, we're going to let the coaches decide. Okay, tell me something redeemable about him. Okay, he's athletic. Thanks.
And, you know, never mind that he's had, you know, 2 knee injuries.
Yeah.
He's athletic. I found Jim Caldwell would be a really cool guy to talk to.
But just to explain what's going on here, and I understand that they're rebuilding. We're not going to say the T word.
Correct.
Because, you know, when you're a member of Fight Club. You don't talk about Fight Club. But the people that they've hired, if you would have told me the Dolphins were going to fire Chris Greer and hire Reggie McKenzie as their GM, I would have applauded it. If you would have told me the Dolphins were going to fire Adam Gase and hire Jim Caldwell as the head coach, I would have applauded it.
Really? I find Jim, as much as I just said he's a very nice guy,
I
don't know if he would have been like, wow, we nailed that one.
He's a decent NFL coach, but it's not a very inspiring choice. I think you need to stop going for these home runs.
Yeah.
And I want to hit a double. I want to hit a strong double, like with a guy on second base.
Mm-hmm.
And I loathe coaches without experience. Because understand, I've covered Tony Sperano, coach without head coaching experience. I've covered Cam Cameron, coach without head coaching experience. I've covered Joe Philbin, coach without head coaching experience. I've covered Adam Gase, coach without head coaching experience. Now I'm covering Brian Flores, coach without head coaching experience. What's the theme?
No head coaching experience. But I will say, though, I also, on the flip side, I hate hiring coaches that have been fired.
When you have a
coach, you're fired, you're fired for a reason.
You're fired for a reason. But generally, what got you hired got you fired.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Gase couldn't develop Ryan Tannehill. You're fired.
Yep.
Here's my why I like fired coaches, especially those who've had some semblance of success.
Mm-hmm.
They know things that a rookie head coach will not know, has not learned, will learn by trial and error, will make the mistakes and learn.
Mm-hmm.
There were things, and I'm not even bragging, but there were things that that Adam Gase was dealing with, that Joe Philbin had dealt with it and had figured out a solution after trial and error. And it was easier for me to tell him, hey, try this, because Joe Philbin went through this during this and this worked. And they were like, oh, didn't know that.
Right, yeah.
But I had been, I've been through so many rookie head coaches.
That you're the one with head coaching experience.
I know, and I'm not saying that I'm prepared to coach her, but sure. You go through so much stuff. Like, the player I told you that he couldn't, that they couldn't reach. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, this isn't the first time that they've gone through this where they couldn't reach a player that was dealing with some life stuff. And you can bank on that past experience and use it to your advantage. And if you've got nobody on your staff that has ever done that, led that, been in that life, made those decisions, it's going to take you a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Philbin suffered from it. Adam Gase suffered from it. Tony Sperano didn't really, because he had Bill Parcells, yep, who'd been through three lifetimes of NFL crap. But it's trial and error. You get rid of that trial and error part. Now, if their success is, like, I think people who have been fired learn from their mistakes. Mm-hmm. And
the next time they get hired, we'll start with the things that they didn't know, and you get off to a better foot, and that probably lays the groundwork for what works.
Bill Belichick's been fired?
Yeah.
Bill Belichick's been fired.
He was indeed. Andy Reid got fired.
Andy Reid got fired. Ain't mm-hmm. that something?
Yeah.
Mike Tomlin hasn't been fired. He'll be fired next year. So, it's the trial and error of learning mm-hmm. those processes. That's what I want to deal with. I will still say that.
Now, to me, the Reggie McKenzie thing, I find interesting that the Dolphins are becoming the blackest organization in the NFL. And that...
Did you really go there?
Yeah, I know.
You purposely went there.
Right,
yeah.
No. I think it's a point worth discussing, because I don't think that it is so typical that it's not worth noting. It is worth noting, because
at
the
this
NFL,
point, it's probably worth noting.
Especially in this cycle of offensive geniuses, what do they all have in common?
All white guys.
They're all white guys.
Yeah.
And so the NFL is actually hiring more white right now. There are fewer minorities in head coaching positions.
Fewer minorities in positions of power.
And I think the fact
Chris
that the
Greer
Dolphins...
is the only top executive that's an African American
in a football operations capacity.
Yep.
And I really do think that the Dolphins going the other way on this is mm-hmm. to their benefit. And I think
to their benefit if it works.
Sure.
I what I like about it, and I hate, but I'm not somebody who shies away from color. Mm-hmm. But I don't.
Right.
You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't.
Sure.
But I hate when people bring this up, because they're not black executives or a black head coach or a black GM or a black player personnel director.
Mm-hmm.
They're good.
Agreed.
People. Good hires.
Mm-hmm.
Experienced hires. You know, some of the individuals that they hired in small, lower level of positions, I am not necessarily speaking about the coaching staff, but Marvin Allen, the player personnel, the mm-hmm. second assistant GM.
Yeah, mm-hmm. From Buffalo.
When I talk to people about him in the NFL, they're like, yeah, that's one of the dopest college scouts.
Mm-hmm. That guy should be a GM.
No, know your lane.
Okay.
That guy, he's great at college evaluations. Mm-hmm. Like, people follow his lead in college evaluations. He sets the trends.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, word? Like, that's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hire Reggie McKenzie, who, on the flip side, was one of the top pro player personnels, which means pro player evaluations, looking at teams and being able to break them down, evaluate them, mm-hmm. and find the value in them, and go add them as free agents or talents on that level. And that's pretty damn dope.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.